Great Plays. The National Broadcasting Company presents Great Plays, a series of famous plays selected to show the development of drama from the sunrise performances in ancient Athens down to the contemporary theater. During the absence of Mr. Burns Mantle, Mr. Brooks Atkinson, the noted dramatic critic of the New York Times, will act as commentator at today's production of Rostand's Cyrano de Bergerac. Mr. Atkinson.
Last week, we were up to our ears in one of the first realistic plays in the modern theater, Dumas' Camille. Today, we are going to saturate ourselves in the last great romantic drama, Edmond Rostand's Cyrano de Bergerac. It was first produced in Paris in 1897. On the opening night, this heroic drama in the dashing tradition of the Grand Romantics was the most sensational triumph of modern times. Theatergoers practically exploded with delight and excitement. Even the critics seemed pleased. As the good news flashed around the world, actors and managers stopped whatever they were doing and ran to Paris to see what they could get out of it for themselves. It was a nip-and-tuck race between Richard Mansfield and Augustine Daly. The next October, they opened rival productions of Cyrano in America within 15 minutes of each other. By raising his curtain at 7:45 instead of at 8, Mansfield got at least technical credit for putting on the first production. His acting of Cyrano was so dynamic that the part certainly became his on merit. In fact, it was usually associated with his name in this country until Walter Hampton put on the long nose and picked up the dueling sword of the character in 1923. Edmond Rostand, the author, was born in Marseille in 1868. He had a polite reputation as author of pleasing verse dramas in Paris when he was still in his 20s. He wrote Cyrano for a great actor, Coquelin, who had a bravura style and could deliver long speeches with wonderful virtuosity. Rostand was 29 when Cyrano and Coquelin set the Seine River on fire. After that, he wrote only two major plays. In 1900, his L'Aiglon, a drama about Napoleon's unhappy son, was pleasantly received. Then he remained silent until 1910, when Chanticleer reached the stage and failed as completely as Cyrano had succeeded. If the Broadway wisecrackers had been hanging around Paris in those days, they would have said that Chanticleer laid an egg. Rostand died in 1918 at the age of 50. A man much admired and respected, but definitely a figure out of the past. For Cyrano concluded the romantic tradition. It was the end rather than the beginning of a dramatic style. Many people who have enjoyed Rostand's Cyrano forget that there was a real Cyrano who lived in the 17th century. He, too, had a long nose about which he was abnormally sensitive. He, too, was a great swordsman, romantic, and scribbler of verses. He is still remembered as author of a humorously fantastic book entitled The Voyage to the Moon. Many of the most astonishing things in Rostand's play seem to have been founded on fact, or at least tradition. It seems to have been true, for instance, that the original Cyrano did fight 100 men on one night, though chiefly in succession, and he did stage a one-man revolution against an actor whom he disliked, coolly walking into the theater during a performance, drawing his sword and ordering the actor off the boards for a month. Although the audience screamed a protest, no one dared risk a duel about it. Cyrano is master of the grand gesture. There is, of course, a great deal more in the play, principally Cyrano's gallant and chivalrous affection for the lovely Roxanne. They don't make suitors like him anymore. When he realizes that she loves a handsome but inarticulate youth named Christian, Cyrano generously writes Christian's love letters for him and loyally champions him on the battlefield. Cyrano is a drama of romantic love and swagger. The original Cyrano would have loved Rostand's play, and instead of ordering Coquelin off the stage at the opening performance, he would doubtless have cheered more hysterically than anyone else in that demented house. The principal parts are to be acted today by two brilliant young actors who have recently distinguished themselves in the theater. Martha Scott, who was breaking hearts in Our Town last season, is our Roxanne today, and Wesley Addy, who is currently fomenting revolution in Henry IV, is our Cyrano. The scene for the first act is the hall of the Hotel de Bourgogne in 1640, an indoor tennis court arranged and decorated for a theatrical performance.
Hold. You there, your money.
I enter graded.
Why?
Why? I'm of the king's household cavalry.
And you?
I pay nothing.
How so?
I am a musketeer.
Come, your money.
Yes, yes.
What pay do they give us, father?
Clarice, you shall presently see some renowned actors. Yes. Montmorin.
Oh.
Make
we are here before the candles are lit.
Indeed. Enough. I'm of an ill humor.
Certainly near.
Not drunk as yet and with a gentleman.
Milord, may I introduce Baron de Neviat, Milord de Crigy, de Brissay.
Ah, delighted.
Sure. This gentleman comes from Touraine.
Yes, I have scarce been 20 days in Paris. Tomorrow I join the guards in the cadets.
It's crowded.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, later, perhaps.
Friend Christian, I but came here to give you pleasure. The lady comes not, so I will betake me again to my pet vice.
Oh, no. You, who are ballad maker to court and city alike, can tell me better than any who the lady is for whom I die of love.
No, I must go.
Nay, stay.
I cannot. D'Assoucy waits me at the tavern, and here one dies of thirst.
Come, my boy.
Ah, it is the famous tavern keeper, Ragano.
Ah, Ligneur, Monsieur de Bergerac is not here.
No.
But it is strange.
Why so?
The Montfleury plays.
Ah, it is true that old wine barrel is a strut tonight, but what matter is that to Cyrano?
Oh, know you not? He so hates Montfleury that he has strictly forbidden him to show his face on the stage for one whole month.
Well?
Montfleury will play.
De Bergerac cannot hinder that.
Oh, that I have come to see.
Who is this Cyrano?
Fellow well skilled in all tricks of swordplay.
Is he of noble birth?
Aye, noble enough. He is a cadet in the guards. But 'tis his friend, Lebray, yonder, who can best tell you. Lebray, seek you for de Bergerac?
I am uneasy.
Is it not true that he is the strangest of men?
True that he is the choicest of earthly beings.
A poet.
Soldier.
A philosopher.
Musician.
And of how fantastic a presence.
Yes, with his triple-plumed beaver and six-pointed doublet. The sword point sticking up neath his mantle like an insolent cock's tail. And above his ruff he carries, such a nose. Oh, my lords, what a nose is his. One wants to cry aloud. Nay, 'tis too much. He plays a joke on us. Presently he will take it off. But no, Monsieur de Bergerac always keeps it on.
And cleaves in two any man who dares remark it.
Aye, his sword is one half of the shears of fate.
He will not come.
I say he will. And I wager a fowl a la Ragano.
Oh, good.
Ah, gentlemen, observe yonder in the box. Oh, she's fearfully, terribly ravishing.
Lynier, to she.
Oh, is it she?
Aye, tell me, quick. I am afraid.
Madeleine Robin, Roxanne, so-called, the cousin of Cyrano, of whom we were now speaking.
And the man?
Comte de Guiche, enamored of her, but wedded to the niece of Armand de Richelieu. Would fain marry Roxanne to a certain sorry fellow, one Monsieur de Valvert, a viscount and accommodating. She will none of that bargain. I myself have exposed this cunning plan of his to the world in a song. Oh, he must rage at me. The end hit home. Listen.
No. Good night.
Where go you?
To Monsieur de Valvert.
Stay where you are. She's looking at you.
It is true.
Is I who am going. I am a first, and they expect me in the tavern.
Come along, gentlemen.
The Count de Guiche.
I go on the stage. Come along, Valvert.
Valvert. So, I will throw full in his face my glove. Hey!
Oh,
you were trying to pick my pocket, scoundrel.
Let me but go, and I would deliver you a secret.
What is it?
Lignier, he who has just left you.
Well?
His life is in peril. A song writ by him has given offense in high places, and 100 men, I'm one of them, are posted tonight.
By whom posted?
I may not say, a secret.
Where?
At the Port de Nile, on his way homeward. Warn him.
But where can I find him?
Run round to all the taverns, the golden wine press, the pine cone.
Good, I fly. Ah, oh, the scoundrels, 100 men against one. Save Lignier, I must.
Begin!
Ragano.
Referee comes on the scene. Ah, yes, it is he who begins.
Cyrano's not here.
Ah, I have lost my way.
Ah, it is all the better. Look, the play.
Ah,
happy the man who, far from pomp, in solitary place, an exile created by himself, and who, when gentle breezes stir the trees...
Villain! Did I not forbid you to show your face here for a month?
Cyrano!
King of clowns! Leave the stage this instant.
But...
Do you dare defy me?
Happy the man who, far from...
Fat pomp... man, take warning. If you go on, I shall feel myself constrained to cut your face. Leave the stage.
No!
Did someone speak?
Cyrano displays his tyranny. A fig for tyrants.
What ho! Come, play us La Clarice.
Let me but hear once more that foolish rhyme. I slaughter every man of you.
Happy the man!
I will clap my hands thrice, thus, full moon. At the third clap, eclipse yourself. One.
I think, gentlemen.
Two.
I think for wises.
Three.
Go.
Come back, and if you dare.
Pray, sir, for what reason say hate you, Montfleury?
Youthful gander, that is my secret.
Yes, but we must give back the entrance.
Belrose, you make the first intelligent remark. Would I rend Thespis' sacred mantle? Nay, catch then this purse I throw and hold your peace.
Oh, at this price, sir, you've authority to come every night and stop glory. Clear out the hall. Get you gone at once.
Nevertheless, sir, it is shameful. You deprive us of our entertainment. I must insist.
On what?
Well...
Show your heel. Or tell me why you stare so at my nose.
Nose? Oh, why I...
Well, what is there strange? Is it soft and dangling like a trunk?
Oh, well, I never...
Do you
never...
see a wart upon the tip?
Nay.
Or a fly that takes the air there? What is there to stare at? Perchance you think it large.
Large? No, small, quite small. Minute.
Minute, what now? Accuse me of a thing ridiculous. Small, my nose.
Oh, heaven help me.
Tis enormous. You dolt, you empty-headed meddler, know that I am proud possessing such appendage. 'Tis well known a big nose is indicative of a soul affable and kind and courteous, while your witless face is all as flabby as what my boot will shortly come and kick.
Oh, help! Call the guards!
Take notice! All who find my feature, center ornament, a thing to jest at, that it is my wont, and if the fool is noble... Ere we part, to let him taste my steel and not my boots.
Oh, but he becomes a nuisance.
Like a man.
Will no one put him down?
But wait, I'll treat him to one of my quips. Attend. Sir, your nose. Your nose is very big.
Very. Is that all?
What do you mean?
Ah, no, young blade. That was a trifle short. You might have said at least 100 things by varying the tone, like this, suppose. Aggressive. Sir, if I had such a nose, I'd amputate it. Descriptive. 'Tis a rock, a peak, a cape. A cape, forsooth. 'Tis a peninsula. Tender. Pray, get a small umbrella made, lest its bright color in the sun should fade. Cavalier. The latest fashion trend, that hook. To hang your hat on, 'tis a useful crook. Dramatic. When it bleeds, what a red sea. Admiring. Sign for a perfumery. Lyric. Is this a conch, a triton, you? Simple. When is the monument on view? Such, my dear sir, is what you might have said. Had you of wit or letters the least jot, e'en so you would not have been let to utter one, nay, not the half or quarter of the jest. I take them from myself in all good part, but not from any other man that breathes.
Hear his arrogance, a country lout who has no gloves, who goes about without sleeve knots, ribbons, lace.
I wear no gloves, and what of that? I had one, remnant of an old worn pair, and knowing not what else to do with it, I threw it in the face of some young fool.
Ah, base scoundrel, rascally, flat-footed lout.
Ah, and I, Cyrano Savagnin, Hercule de Bergerac.
En garde, poet!
Aye, poet, sir. In proof of which, while we fence presto all extempore, I will compose a ballad. I'll make one while we fight and touch you at the final line.
No.
No? The duel in Hotel of Burgundy, fought by de Bergerac and the good for naught.
What may that be, and if you please,
the title. Wait while I choose my rhyme. I have them now. I gaily doff my beaver low, and freeing hand and heel, my heavy mantle off I throw, and I draw my polished steel. Graceful as Phoebus round I wheel, alert as Scaramouche. A word in your ear, sir, spark I steal. At the envoi's end, I touch. Oh, for a rhyme in O. You wriggle, starch, white my eel. A rhyme, the white feather you show. Jack, I parry the point of your steel, the point you hope to make me feel. I open the line. Now crouch your spit, sir, scullion. Show your zeal. At the envoi's end, I touch. L'envoi!
to heaven for your soul's weal. I move a pace.
Oh, such and such.
Come over, faint. What, oh, you reel? At the unwise end, I touch.
Oh, madman.
A word with you, Cyrano.
Wait, let the rabble go.
Cyrano, you do not dine?
No.
Because?
Because I have no money.
Well, how? The bag of crowns to Belarose.
Paternal bounty. In a day thou art sped.
How live next month?
I have nothing left.
Ah, folly.
But what a gesture.
You make too many enemies by far.
How many think you have made tonight?
40, no less, not counting
the lady. Enough, I am overjoyed.
So be it. But the motive of your fate to Montfleury, tell me.
This big-bellied spouter of rhyme still deems himself a peril, a danger to the love of lovely ladies. I hate him since the evening he presumed to raise his eyes to hers.
Oh, no. What can it be?
That I should love. I love.
And may I know? You never said.
Come now, bethink you. The fond hope to be beloved even by some poor graceless lady is by this nose of mine, for I bereft me. This lengthy nose, which go where'er I will, pokes yet a quarter mile ahead of me. But I may love. And whom? Tis fate's decree I love the fairest.
Naturally. The fairest?
Aye, the fairest of the world. Most brilliant, most refined, most golden-haired. He who has seen her smile has known perfection.
Your cousin, Madeleine Robin.
Roxanne.
Well, but so much the better. Tell her so. She saw your triumph here this very night.
Look well at me, and then tell me with what hope this vile protuberance can fortify my heart. I do not lull me with illusion. Yet at times I'm weak. In evening hours, dim, I see some night. A lady on his arm, and think to saunter thus in the moonlight. I would I could have my lady too beside. Thought soars to ecstasy. But sudden fall, I see the shadow of my profile on the wall.
Oh, my friend.
Ah, Lebrecht, at times 'tis hard. 'Tis bitter to feel my loneliness, my own ill favor.
But I saw Roxanne herself was death pale as she watched the duel.
Pale?
Her heart, her fancy already caught. Put it to the touch.
That she may mock my face. That is the one thing on this earth I fear.
Sir, someone asks for you.
Lebrecht. Edwina.
I was bid ask you where a certain lady could see her valiant cousin, but in secret.
See me?
Aye, sir. She has somewhat to tell.
Somewhat?
To tell.
Oh, dear.
Tomorrow at the early blush of dawn, we go to hear mass at San Roque. After what place? For a few minutes at least.
Why, let me think.
Where?
At the pastry house of Ragano. Oh,
good. Be you there.
Aye.
Farewell.
Lebrecht, a rendezvous with her.
You're sad no more.
Ah, let the world go burn. She knows I live. Oh, for an army to attack, a host. I've 10 hearts in my breast, a score of arms. No mortals to cleave in twain. Give me giants now.
Cyrano.
Vignette. What's chanced?
I dare not go home.
Why not?
This letter warns me that 100 men, revenge threatens me. That song, you know, at the Porte de Nail. To get to my own house, I must pass there. I dare not. Give me leave to sleep tonight beneath your roof. Allow.
100 men? You sleep in your own bed.
But Cyrano.
Take the lantern. Let's start. I swear that I myself will make your bed tonight.
But 100.
Unless tonight would be too few. Gentlemen, when you shall see me charge, bear me no succor, none whate'er the odds. I, all alone, beneath the plume that glory lends to deck my beaver. You hear me? I forbid you succor me. Porter, open wide the door.
Yes, sir.
Paris wrapped in night. Half nebulous, the moonlight streams o'er the blue-shadowed roofs, a lovely frame for this wild battle scene. Beneath the vapors floating scarves, the same trembles mysterious like a magic mirror. And shortly you shall see what you shall see. To the Porte de Nail! And when Paris asks, for what cause against this rhymer 50 men were sent, was that they knew him for a friend of mine.
morning of the following day in Ragueneau's pastry shop. Cyrano awaits Roxanne's coming, a newly finished letter in his hand.
Oh, I have writ it and rewrit it in my own mind so oft. I have but to lay my soul beside my letter sheet. There's naught to be done but copy it. No need to sign, since I give it her myself. And if I see but the faint glimmer of hope, then I draw out my letter.
Enter.
Ah, cousin.
Blessed be the moment when you condescend, remembering that humbly I exist, to come to meet me and to say, to tell.
To thank you, first of all. That dandy count whom you checkmated in brave swordplay last night, he is the man whom a great lord, desirous of my favor,
De Guiche,
sought to impose on me for husband.
Husband? Dupe husband, husband a la mode.
Then happy chance I fought, sweet lady, not for my ill favors, but your favors fair.
Confession next. But ere I make my shrift, you must be once again that brother friend with whom I used to play by the lakeside.
Aye, you would come each spring to Bergerac.
Mind you the reed you cut to make your sword.
While you wove cornstraw braids for your doll's hair.
In those days you did everything I bid.
Aye.
Oft times with hands all bloody from a fall, you'd run to me. Then, aping mother ways, I in a voice would be severe, would chide. What is this scratch again that I see here? Why, what's this?
No,
let me see. At your age, fie. Where did you get that scratch?
I got it playing at the Portenail.
Come, tell me, how many did
you... Oh, about 100.
Tell me.
No, let be. But you, tell me the thing just now you dared not.
Now I dare. The scent of those old days emboldens me. Yes, now I dare. Listen. I am in love.
Huh?
But with one who knows not.
Oh.
But who, if he knows not, soon shall learn.
Huh?
A poor youth who all this time has loved timidly from afar and dares not speak.
Huh?
And to think of it, that he by chance, yes, cousin, he is of your regiment,
huh?
Is cadet in your own company.
Oh.
On his brow he bears the genius stamp. He is proud, noble, young, intrepid, fair.
Fair?
What ails you?
Nothing. This scratch.
Well, I love him, all is said. But you must know I've only seen him at the comedy.
And you have never spoken?
I can speak.
How know you, then, that he...
Oh, people talk neath the lines in the Place Royale.
His name?
Baron Christian de Noviette.
Oh, he's not of the guards.
Today, he is to join your ranks under Captain Carbon de Castel Jaloux.
Ah, how quick the heart has flown.
My poor child, you who love but flowing words, bright wit, what if he be a lout unskilled?
Oh, no, I guess I feel his words are fair.
All words are fair that drop from fair young lips. Suppose he were a fool.
Then bury me.
What it to... Tell me this, you brought me here.
Nay, but I felt a terror here in the heart on learning yesterday you were Gascons all of your company.
And we provoke all beardless sprigs that favor dares allow midst us pure Gascons. They told you that as well?
Ah, oh, think how I trembled for you.
Not causelessly.
But when last night at the theater I saw you fearless hold your own against the crowd, I thought if he would only...
Enough. I will befriend your little baron.
You'll do this for me. You'll be his friend.
I swear.
And he shall fight no duels, promise?
None.
You are kind, cousin. Now I must be gone. Bid him rise.
Aye.
How good you are.
Aye, aye.
Now farewell. You must tell me all one day of last night's hero fight. How brave, how brave.
I have fought better since.
Our hero, we heard all.
Captain Carbon.
30 or more of my cadets are here.
Cyrano, they're looking for you. Here's a crazy mob led by the men who followed you last night.
What, have you told them where to find me?
Yes. And Roxanne?
Hush.
Here is Monsieur de Guiche.
Who would express his admiration for your new exploit, noise so loud abroad?
Monsieur is a judge of valor.
I could not have believed the thing unless these gentlemen had sworn they witnessed it with our own eyes. In feats of arms, already your career abounded. You serve with these addle-pated Gascons?
Aye. With the cadets.
With us.
Will you be my follower?
No, sir. No, man.
You are proud.
Really? Have you noticed that?
Ah, my chair. I go.
What is the Malord Ish?
Have you read Don Quixote?
I have. And I doff my hat at the mad knight-errant's name.
I counsel you to study the windmill chapter.
Chapter the 13th.
For when one tilts against windmills, it may chance...
Tilt I against those who change with every breeze?
That windmill sails may sweep you with their arms down in the mire.
Or upward to the stars.
Now you've done it.
Oh, scold away.
Come, lay aside that pride of musketeer. Fortune and glory await you.
What would you suggest? Seek a protector? Choose a patron out and like the crawling ivy round a tree that licks the bark to gain the trunk support, climb high by creeping roots instead of force? No, thank you. What, I, like all the rest, dedicate ballads to bankers, play buffoon in cringing hope to see at last a smile not disapproving on a patron's lips? Seek introductions, draw petitions up? I thank you, no, and no, and no again. But sing, dream, laugh, go lightly, solitary, free, with eyes that look straight forward, fearless voice. And then, if glory come by chance your way, to pay no tribute unto Caesar, none. But keep the merit all your own. In short, disdaining tendrils of the parasite, to be content, if neither oak nor elm, not to mount high perchance, but mount alone.
Alone, if you will, but not with hand against every man. How in the devil's name have you conceived this lunatic idea to make foes for yourself at every turn?
Because of seeing you at every turn bow low and fawn upon your frequent friends with mouth wide smiling, slit from ear to ear. I pass still unsaluted, joyfully, and cry, what ho, another enemy!
Speak proud and bitter to all the rest, but in my ear, whisper me simply this, she loves me not.
Hush. Cyrano, the story!
Aye, the story of the fray. To lesson well this timid young apprentice.
Apprentice who?
This sickly northern greenhorn.
Sickly?
Hark, Monsieur de Neviot, listen your ear. There's somewhat here one no more dares to name than to say rope to one whose sire was hanged.
What may that be?
His nose, you understand? And if you would not perish in flower youth, so mention not the fatal cartilage.
Oh? Captain.
Sir?
Pray, what skills it best to do to southerners who swagger?
Give them proof that one may be a northerner, yet brave.
I thank you.
But come, the sail! The sail!
Well, I went all alone to meet the band. The night was inky black, and all the keys were hidden in the murky dark. Why, one could see nothing further
than one's nose.
Who on God's earth said that?
It is a man who joined today.
Today?
Yes. His name is the Baron.
What said I? That it was dark. Well, on I went, thinking for a knavish cause I may provoke some great man, some great prince, who certainly could make me pay...
Through the nose.
Most dearly. But I cried, forward, Gascons, duty calls. On, Cyrano! And thus I ventured on, when from the shadow came a blow.
On the nose.
I parry it, find myself...
Nose to nose.
Heaven and earth! With 100 brawling sots, I leapt out, head well down.
Nosing the wind.
I charge, draw to, impale one, run him through. One aims at me, passed, and I parry.
He...
Great God, out, all of you! Every man out, leave me alone with him!
We shall find him minced fine, minced into hash. I die of fright to think what will pass here.
Embrace me now.
Sir.
You are brave.
Oh, but...
Nay, I insist.
Pray, tell
me. Come, I am her brother.
Whose?
Hers, Roxanne.
Oh, heavens, her brother.
Cousin, brother, the same thing.
And she has told you?
All.
She loves me. Say.
Perhaps.
Ah, how glad I am to meet you, sir.
That may be called a sudden sentiment.
Ah, sir, if you but knew my admiration.
But all those noses.
Oh, I take them back.
Roxanne expects a letter.
What? From me?
Certainly.
But if I write one line, my loss, my cause is lost.
How so?
I am one of those men, tongue-tied, I know it, who can never tell their love.
And I, perhaps, had nature been more kind, more careful when she fashioned me, had been one of those men who well could speak their love.
Oh, to express one's thoughts with facile grace.
To be a musketeer with
handsome face.
Eloquence! Where to find it?
That I lend. If you lend me your handsome Victor charms, blended, we make a hero of romance.
How so?
Think you can repeat what things I daily teach your tongue?
What do you mean?
Roxanne shall never have a disillusion. Will you agree we woo her double-handed? That we too woo her both together?
But Cyrano...
Will you, I say, wed into one my phrases and your lips?
Your eyes flash.
Will you?
Will it please you so? Give you such pleasure?
It would amuse me. It is an enterprise to tempt a poet. Will you complete me and let me complete you? You march victorious. I go in your shadow. Let me be wit for you. Be you my beauty.
The letter that she waits for even now. Oh, I never can.
See? Here it is, your letter.
What?
Take it. Look at once, but the address.
But I...
Fear nothing. Send it. It will suit.
But have you...
Oh, we have our pockets full, we poets, of love letters writ to Chloe's, Daphne's, creations of our noodle heads. Come, take it and change feigned love words into true. Take it and make an end.
Well, were it not well to change some words, written haphazard-wise, will it fit Roxanne?
Twill fit like a glove.
But...
Enough. Roxanne will think each word inspired by herself.
My friend...
And so begins this strange wooing. Cyrano puts his own heart into the letters that Christian sends to Roxanne and coaches him in the words to use whenever the two young lovers meet. Roxanne delights in the poetry of Christian's letters and in the beauty of his phrases of love. Our next scene is at night in the street outside Roxanne's home. Cyrano speaks.
Christian, now I know all that is needful. Here's occasion for you to deck yourself with glory. Listen.
No.
Why?
I am aweary of these borrowed letters, borrowed lovemakings. It was well enough at the beginning, but now I know she loves me. I will speak myself.
No.
Then how know you? I cannot speak. I am not such a fool when all is said. I know at least to clasp her in my arms. She comes. Cyrano, no, leave me not.
Speak for yourself, my friend.
You... Christian.
Yes, Roxanne.
We are alone in the dark. Speak and I will listen.
Oh, I love you.
I speak to me of love.
I love thee.
The theme, but bury it.
I love you so.
Yes, say how love possesses you.
Oh, utterly.
Come, unknot those tangled sentiments.
Your throat, I kiss it.
Christian.
I love thee.
Again?
Oh, I am grown stupid.
And that displeases me almost as much as would displease me if you grew ill-favored.
But,
Yes, you love me, that I know, adieu.
Oh, go not yet.
You adore me, I've heard it very oft. Go,
but
go away.
But I want to...
Ah, be successful.
Cyrano, come to my aid.
Not I. Oh,
but I shall die unless at once I win back her fair favor. Oh, she's there, at her window balcony. See.
Her window.
Oh, I shall die.
Speak lower.
I shall die.
The night is dark.
Well?
Stand there, poor wretch, fronting the balcony, and I'll go beneath and prompt your words to you.
Yes, but...
Call her.
Roxanne.
Who calls me?
Christian.
Oh, you.
I would speak with you.
Good. Speak soft and low.
No, you speak stupidly. You love me no more.
You say,
Great heaven.
I love no more.
I love no
when
more.
I love more and more.
When I love more and more.
Hold. Oh, is a trifle better. Ah, a trifle.
Love grew apace.
Love grew apace.
Rocked by the anxious beating.
Rocked by the anxious beating.
Of this poor heart.
Which it took for a cradle.
Well said. But why so faltering does your inspiration lag behind your tongue?
Give place. This wax is critical.
Your words are hesitating.
Night has come. In the dusk, they grope their way to find your ear.
But my words find no such impediment.
They find their way at once. Small wonder that. For 'tis within my heart they find their home. And from fair heights descending, words fall fast. But mine must mount, madame, and that takes time.
In truth, I seem to speak from distant heights. I will come down.
No.
What?
Stay a while. 'Tis sweet. The rare occasion when our hearts can speak, ourselves unseen, unseeing. Know you what such a moment holds for me? If ever I were eloquent...
You were.
Yet never till tonight my speech has sprung straight from my heart as now it springs. I think I shall find speech for the first time.
It's true. Your voice rings with a tone that's new.
A new tone. In the tender, sheltering dusk, I dare to be myself for once. At last. What say I? I know not. Your pardon, it thrills me. 'Tis so sweet, so novel.
So novel?
Aye, to be at last sincere. Till now, my chilled heart, fearing to be mocked.
Mocked, and for what?
For its mad beating. Aye, my heart hath closed itself with witty words to shroud itself from curious eyes. Impelled at times to aim at a star, I stay my hand and, fearing ridicule, pluck a wildflower.
The wildflower, sweet.
Aye, but tonight the star.
Oh, never have you spoken thus before.
At last the moment comes, inevitable, when ennobling love blooms within us, making pretty words futile and soul-saddened.
Well, if that moment's come for us, just suppose. What word would you
use? All, whatever as they came. Even as they came, I'd fling them in a wild profusion at your feet. I love beyond the power of loving. I love you. Your name hangs in my heart as in some bell. And as I ever tremble, thinking of thee, ever the bell swings, ever your name rings.
Why, this is love indeed.
Do you begin, sweet, to understand? So late, do you understand me? Do you feel my soul here through the darkness mounting? Have words of mine the power to make you tremble, listening there among the shadows?
Yes, I am trembling, weeping, I am dying. Thou hast conquered all of me.
Then let death come. One thing, but one I dare to ask.
A kiss.
What?
Fool, you go too quick.
Since she is moved thus, I will profit by it.
Quiet.
My words sprang thoughtlessly, but now I see I was too presumptuous. The kiss I asked, grant it not.
Why? Silence, Christian.
What do you whisper?
I feel myself too bold, and so I say, silence, Christian.
Oh, win for me that kiss.
No.
Sooner or later.
'Tis true. Your mouths are sure to meet. And I'd rather it would come, thanks to...
Still there. We spoke of...
A kiss. The word is sweet. Why should your lips avoid it?
Hush, hush.
A kiss when all is said, what is it? A heart's avowal claiming confirmation. A rose dot on the eye of adoration. A secret that to mouth, not ear, is whispered.
Must I then bid thee mount to tell the secret?
Climb.
This heart's avowal.
Go.
But I feel now...
Come, it's... blockhead, mount.
Roxanne.
Chris.
Aye. Strange pain that stabs my heart. I, Lazarus, lie at the gate in darkness. Yet to me falls still a crumb or two from the rich man's board. Aye. 'Tis my heart receives thee, Roxanne, mine. For on the lips you press, you kiss as well the words I spoke just now. My words. My words.
And so Cyrano brings the courtship to a successful conclusion. The lover's happiness is short-lived, however, as Count de Guiche arrives at the finish of a hasty marriage ceremony and announces that their regiment has been ordered to war. Roxanne fearfully says...
Cyrano, promise me that no risk shall put his life in danger.
I will try my best, but promise that I cannot.
But swear he shall be prudent, let him not suffer.
All that man can do,
that he shall be faithful.
Doubtless, but...
That he shall ride off.
That I promise you.
And now we come upon the weary and starving cadets at the siege on the battlefield.
What's wrong, Lacour? Why drag your legs so sorrowfully?
I have something in my heels which weighs them down.
And what may that be?
My stomach.
So have I, Faith.
My stomach's hollow.
Christian will make a fine drum to sound the assault.
I'm as hungry as a wolf.
Eat your patience, then.
Always your pointed words.
Aye, pointed words. I hope to die thus some soft summer eve. A point upon my lips. A point
within my heart.
Nevertheless, I'm hungry.
We're hungry too.
You see, one drum roll is enough. All that hunger called forth, the drum has chased away.
Ho, ho, here comes Monsieur de Guiche.
Flattering welcome.
With his lace collar over his armor, playing the fine gentleman.
As if one wore linen over steel. How pale he is.
Oh, he's hungry, just like us poor devils. But under his breastplate, with its fine gilt nails, his stomachache glitters brave in the sun.
Let us not seem to suffer either. Out with your cards, pipes, dice.
Good day, Cabot. Well, gentlemen, on all sides I hear that in your ranks you scoff at me. Scarce fine for me, your colonel, a disdain sufficient. Call me plotter, wily courtier. It does not please your mightiness to see a point-lace collar on my steel cuirass. Well, I can ignore your taunts. 'Tis well known how I bear me in the war. At Bapaume yesterday, they saw the rage with which I beat back the Count of Bouquois and charged three separate times.
And your white scarf?
Oh, you know that detail?
Yes.
Yes. Well, it happened thus. A band of fugitives bore me with them, close by the hostile ranks. I was in peril of capture, sudden death. When I thought of the good expedient to discard the scarf which told my military rank, thus I contrived without attention wait to leave the foe. And suddenly returning, reinforced with my own men, to scatter them. And now, what say you, sir?
I say that Henry IV would never by dangerous odds be forced to strip himself of his white plume.
The ruse succeeded, though.
Oh, that may be. But had I been present when your scarf fell low, I would have picked it up and put it on.
Ha! Another Gascon boast.
A boast? Lend it to me. I pledge myself tonight with it across my breast to lead the assault.
Another Gascon font. You know the scarf lies with the enemy. The place riddled with shot. No one can fetch it hither.
Here it is.
I thank you. It will now enable me to make a signal that I had forborne to make till now.
Look! See you young men down there who run.
It is a false Spanish spy who is extremely useful to my ends. The secrets he carries to the enemy are those I prompt him with. So in a word, we have an influence on their decisions.
Scoundrel.
And I have news for you. Last night to provision us, the marshal moved to Doulon. But to return him safely, we sent a goodly force of troops and half of the army's absent from the camp.
Aye, if the Spaniards knew, it were ill for us. But they know nothing of it.
Oh, they know, Carbon. They will attack us.
What?
My false spy had already warned me of their attack. He said, I can decide the point for their assault. I answered, good. Go out of camp and watch my signal. Choose the point from whence it comes.
Well?
It will be in an hour. Here.
Your vengeance, huh? Permit me to express my gratitude.
I know you love to fight against 50. You will not now complain of paltry honor.
Roxanne.
Alas, Christian.
At least I'd like to send my heart's farewell to her in a fair letter.
I had suspicion it would be today and had already writ.
No, show me.
Will you send it?
Aye.
Who goes there? Hello.
What is it?
It's a carriage. On the king's service.
What a woman!
Roxanne!
On the king's service? You?
Aye, king love. My Christian.
Roxanne.
What other king?
Dare I look at her?
Cousin delighted.
But how in heaven's name did you get through?
Through the Spanish line.
But how?
None too hard. I but drove quietly forward in my carriage. Frequently I was stopped, then I would answer, I go to see my lover. At that word, the very fierce Spaniard of them all would bow low, saying to me, pass on, senorita.
But Roxanne, I...
You must leave this place.
Indeed, you must.
But wherefore must I?
In 3/4 hour.
You're going to fight? I stay here.
No.
Christian is my husband. They shall kill us both together.
She's a point of mortal danger.
Roxanne, you must leave.
Not shall make me leave this spot.
She stays.
She stays.
Madam, open the hand that holds your kerchief.
Why?
My company had no flag. But now with this, they have the fairest in all the camp.
But it's somewhat small.
But... tis of lace.
I could die happy having seen so sweet a face if I had something in my stomach.
Shame on you. What talk of eating when a lovely woman...
But your camp air is keen, and I myself am famished. pastries, cold fricassee, old wines, that is my bill of fare. Pray, bring it all here.
Aye, but where on earth find it?
In my carriage.
What?
You have only to unpack and serve things.
Oh. Well, you chasing all the ladies so dainty fair, overlooked the fair so dainty.
I shall serve the wine. Red or white, some bread for Monsieur de Cobble.
Christian,
there
quickly.
You
have, written to Roxanne oftener than you think.
How so?
Why, simply that I had taken it in hand to express your flame for you. At times I wrote without saying I am writing.
But how did you contrive, since we have been cut off thus?
Oh, before dawn I was able to get through.
And how often have I written? Twice in the week? Three times? Four?
More often still.
What, every day?
Yes, every day.
And that became so mad a joy for you that you braved death?
Hush, hush. Not before her.
Oh, Christian, at last.
Roxanne, now tell me why you came, disregarding dangers to join me.
Love, your letters brought me here.
What? For a few inconsequent love letters?
Don't say that. Ever since that night when in a voice all new to me, under my window you revealed your soul, ever since I have adored you. Now your daily letters this whole month long. Each separate page was like a fluttering flower petal loosed from your own soul and wafted thus to mine.
You felt that, Roxanne?
Oh, Christian, my true lord, I come to crave your pardon now that death may come. Forgive me for the insult done to you when frivolous. At first I loved you only for your faith.
And now?
You yourself have triumphed over yourself. For now I love you only for your soul.
Roxanne.
Be happy. Your dear letters have now effaced that beauty that so won me at the outset. Now I see clearer, and I no more see it.
I do not ask such love as that. I would be loved more simply.
Oh, be loved henceforth in a better way. If your beauty should today depart...
Oh, do not say it.
Yes, I say it.
Ugly.
Ugly, I swear I'd love you still.
Mon Dieu.
What is wrong?
Oh, nothing.
But...
those poor fellows, shortly doomed to death. My love deprives them of the sight of you. Go, speak to them, smile on them. They are about to die.
Dear Christian.
Cyrano.
Yes? Why so pale?
She does not love me.
What?
'Tis you she loves.
No.
For she loves me only for my soul.
Truly.
Yes, and that soul is you. Therefore, 'tis you she loves. And you love her.
Yes, it's true.
Then tell her so.
No.
And why not?
Look at my face. Be answered.
She'd love me were I ugly.
She said that?
In those words. Tell her all. She shall choose between us.
No. No, I'll not have it. Spare me this.
Because my face is haply fair, shall I destroy your happiness? 'Twere too unjust.
And I, because by nature's freak I have the gift to say all that perchance you feel, shall I be fatal to your happiness?
I will be loved for myself or not at all. Speak to her. And then let her choose one of us two.
It will be you.
Roxanne.
No, no.
Yes, Christian?
Cyrano has things to tell you. Important.
Important? How?
Why, oh, 'tis nothing. You know how he sees importance in a trifle.
Did he doubt what I said? Ah, yes, I saw he doubted.
But are you sure you told...
He doubted.
But are you sure you told him all the truth?
Yes, I would love him were he...
Does that word embarrass you before my face, Roxanne?
I...
'Twill not hurt me, say it, if he were ugly.
Yes, ugly. Hark, I hear a shot.
Hideous?
Hideous, yes.
Grotesque?
He could not be grotesque to me.
My God, it's true, perchance. I... Roxanne, listen.
Cyrano!
What?
The first burst of fire. Christian...
Priest!
Dead.
It's too late. Now I can never tell.
What is it?
Nothing.
Those men, what are they carrying?
Come.
No, it's Christian. Oh, Christian.
Roxanne.
Christian.
I told her all. She loves you still, Christian.
Oh.
His cheeks were...
Come on!
My own. A letter.
Ready?
In his dear hand, covered with blood and tears. This for me.
My letter.
Fire!
But Roxanne, come away there. Fight it.
Say, he is dead. You knew him, you alone. Was not he a beauteous soul? Was he not a great man?
Yes, Roxanne.
An inspired poet.
Yes, Roxanne.
A spirit, gentle, charming.
Yes, Roxanne.
And now, he's dead.
I am let me die to me. Since all unknowing, she mourns me in him.
allowed Pounder to return it. Hold him down!
Gascon! Who, Gascon? Never turn your back. Have no fear. I have two deaths to avenge. My friend who's slain and my dead happiness. Fall on them, Gascon. Crush them!
And now we move forward 15 years. Roxanne has entered a convent. Cyrano faithfully visits her each week, never declaring his old love for her. His lifelong fight against hypocrisy and sham has brought him to arrogant poverty and created for him many enemies. It is near the time of Cyrano's weekly visit to the convent garden. Le Bray is waiting for his two old friends when Ragueneau enters.
Le Bray! Le Bray. Since you are here, it is best she should not know.
Why, what is it, Ragueneau?
I was going to our friend just now. Was but a few steps from the house. When I saw him go out, I hurried to him, saw him turn the corner. Suddenly, from out a window where he was passing, was it chance, perhaps? A lackey let fall a heavy log of wood.
Oh, cowards! Oh, Cyrano, just yesterday at the Pinecone Tavern, 'twas said that Cyrano may die by accident.
There was our poet, sir, our friend, struck to the ground, a large wound in his head.
He's dead?
No, but I bore him to his room.
Saw you a doctor?
One was kind. He came.
Oh, my poor Cyrano. We must not tell this to Roxanne suddenly.
But let us haste. There's no one by his bed. If he should try to rise, sir, he might die.
Shh, here comes Roxanne, through the chapel. Bye. 'Tis the quickest way.
Yes, yes. Le Bray. He goes when I call. There's some new trouble of old Ragueneau's. Ah, what a beauty in September's close. My sorrow's eased. April's joy dazzled it. But autumn winds it with her dying call. Ah, here comes the famous armchair for my dear faithful friend.
It is the parlor's death.
Thanks, sister. He'll be here now. And now, for my tapestry that's never done that he may mock it. Why? Now the hour's struck. How strange to be behind his time. Surely he must come soon. Nothing could hinder him.
Monsieur de Bergerac.
Well, for the first time late. For the first time all these 14 years.
It's villainous. I was stayed.
By?
By a bold, unwelcome visitor.
Some creditor?
Aye, cousin. The last creditor who has a debt to claim of me.
And have you paid it?
No, not yet. I put it off. Said, this is Saturday. When I have a standing rendezvous that not defers. Call him. An hour's time.
Cyrano, he swooned.
What? Nay, on my word, tis nothing. Let me.
But...
That old wound of Arras, tis nothing. Twill pass soon. See, it has passed.
Each of us has his old wound. I have mine, never healed up. Tis here. Beneath this letter, brown with age, all stained with teardrops, and still stained with blood.
His letter. Promised me one day that I should read it.
See, here it is.
Have I your leave to open?
Open. Read.
Roxanne, adieu. I soon must die this very night, beloved, and I feel my soul heavy with love untold.
But how you read that letter?
My heart cries out. I cry farewell.
You read in such a voice. So strange, and yet... It is not the first time I hear that voice.
I am he who loves. Who loves you.
How can you read? It is too dark to see. I'm 14 years long. He has played this part of the kind old friend who comes to laugh and chat.
Roxanne.
It was you.
No, never Roxanne, no.
I see through all the generous counterfeit, the letters, you.
No.
The sweet, mad love words, you.
No.
The voice that thrilled me in the night, you. You.
I swear.
The soul, it was your soul.
I loved you not.
You loved me not.
T'was he.
You loved me.
No.
See how you falter now.
No, my sweet love, I never loved you.
Ah, why? Why keep silence all these 14 years? When on this letter which he never wrote, the tears were your tears.
The blood was his.
Why then that noble silence kept so long? Broken today for the first time, why?
Why?
What madness. Here? I knew it well.
What now, Leverett?
He has brought his death by coming, madam.
Your... in that faintness of a moment since, Cyrano, what has chanced?
To be struck down, pierced by a sword in the heart from a hero's hand. That I had dreamed. Oh, mockery of fate. Killed I, of all men, in an ambuscade, struck from behind by a lackey's hand. 'Tis very well. I am foiled, foiled in all, even in my death. Let him go pray when the bell rings.
Sister, sister.
Call no one. Leave me not.
When you come back, I should be gone for aye.
Live, for I love you.
No. In fairy tales, when to the ill-starred prince the lady says, I love you, all his ugliness fades fast. But I remain the same up to the last.
I have marred your life. I...
You blessed my life. I would not bid you mourn less faithfully that good brave Christian. I would only ask that when my body shall be cold in clay, you wear those sable mourning weeds for two... And mourn a while for me in mourning him.
I swear with you.
And now?
What? Seated? No. Let no one hold me up. Only this tree. It comes. Even now my feet have turned to stone. My hands are gloved with lead. But since death comes, I meet him standing, and sword in hand.
Cyrano.
Why, I well believe he dares to mock my nose. How insolent! What say you? It is useless. I know. But who fights ever hoping for success? I fought for lost cause and for fruitless quest. You there, who are you? You are thousands. Ah, I know you now, old enemies of mine. Falsehood. Have at you now. And compromise. Prejudice. Treachery. Surrender. I. No, never. You may strip from me the laurel and the rose. Take all. Despite you all, there is yet one thing I hold. And when tonight I enter Christ's fair court, and lowly bowed, sweep with doffed helmet the heaven's threshold blue. One thing is left, that void of stain or smudge, I bear away despite of you.
Here.
My white plume.
You have been listening to Cyrano de Bergerac by Edmund Rostand, featuring Wesley Addy as Cyrano and Martha Scott as Roxanne. Under the musical direction of Joseph Harvey, this broadcast was adapted and produced by Lester Vale. The commentator was Brooks Atkinson. Others in the cast included William Post, Scott Cotsworth, Horace Braham, Reese Williams, Burford Hampton, William Thornton, Catherine Anderson, and Joanna Roos. Next week, at this same time, you will hear Peter Pan. This has been a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.